Praise the Lord. Last night, we heard about the covenant with Levi. The covenant with Levi is life and peace. This is a covenant the Lord made with a portion of his people who were faithful to him. The Lord is making a covenant with Levi because Levi was faithful to the Lord. When all the rest of the people departed from God and sinned, the Lord made a covenant with Levi. Actually, God wanted to have the entire people for himself, but as we saw yesterday, he had to divide and make a distinction, not because he wanted to, but because his people were not prepared to follow him entirely. And that's why he had to make a distinction. He had to separate his people. And this covenant that he made was one of life and peace. And it's so wonderful. And this is such a precious covenant that we have to pay attention to. And we really have to be attentive to abiding and remaining in this covenant. And that's why in this meeting, we want to speak of an insertion. We're in Roman numeral 6 in the outline. And there it says, insertion, God's high requirements for the priesthood. And this should show us, what is the practical effect of this covenant with Levi? What is the practical meaning for us that God made this covenant with the priests? So let's have fellowship about this. And we can read the following verses, Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44, starting from verse 15. And we can alternate brothers and sisters, and let's really take these verses to heart. Ezekiel chapter 44, 15 and 16. And actually, I think we might be reading all the way to verse 33. Start with the brothers, and really let's read full of strength and might. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go out to the outer court, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. Verse 20, they shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel or widows of priests. Verse 23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister, may they defile themselves. After he is cleansed, they shall count 7 days for him. Verse 27, and on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God. It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. Amen. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. The best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest's. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast, that died naturally or was torn by wild beasts. Yeah, the sons of Zadok shall come near to me. Amen. If we really have this temple of Ezekiel before our eyes, then we see different areas. And there is a picture on the screen now of this temple, and not all of God's people had access, but it was just to the innermost part, the sanctuary, but it was just the sons of Zadok, who are a portion of the tribe of Levi. And they're the only ones who had this privilege to come near to God and had the calling. Praise the Lord for our calling. We really have to value this, treasure it. We have to treasure having this distinction, this difference, separation, this inner part. The most innermost part was of the tabernacle, of the temple, was the sanctuary, and only the sons of Zadok could go there. There are other areas of the temple. There are not the innermost part, and there was also ministry and service there, but only the sons of Zadok could approach the innermost part. And the reason is because they kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. So here we see how important it is that we really keep this service, that God has assigned to us. It's so important to the Lord that we regard and keep our priestly service as God has ordained. Why? Because this is the place where we stand before Him to offer to Him the fat and the blood, to give Him His food. In Leviticus 21:6, it tells us more about this service. Leviticus 21:6 says, "They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God, for they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God. Therefore they shall be holy." Our offerings that we bring every Sunday, that we bring to the feast, they are God's food. They are the bread of our God. We need this consciousness. And so if we are dealing with God's food, we must be holy. It says here, "Therefore they shall be holy." And food is a highly sensitive matter. When it comes to food, it's important to be pure. And the priests are called to prepare food for God. And the bread of our God, the bread of God is our offerings, our experience with Christ. When we bring Christ, God enjoys Christ. God eats Christ. That is His food. And it's so important for us as priests to pay attention to being pure and holy. Amen. We really need this consciousness. Why is God so strict in Malachi, so harsh in His speaking? We heard such a stern speaking to the priests yesterday. Why? Because the priests are those who stand before Him, who come near to Him. And God is pure, and His purity, His pureness cannot be defiled. The rest of the people are in the outer court. And for this part of the people, the commandments, the rules are not so strict. But for those who are going into the innermost part, it is very strict. And today we want to be those who come near to the Lord and who bring Him food. We want to execute this priestly service before Him. And so we have to really pay attention to His commandment. And in Ezekiel 44, there are so many practical points that the priests must pay attention to if they are to stand before God. So let's go a little bit deeper into this verse. These verses in Ezekiel 44, verse 17. "And it shall be whenever they enter the gates of the inner court," that's these gates in the picture here, "the Lord gives us the freedom to enter in or not enter in, but whenever they do enter in," well, the question is, do we want to serve Him in a priestly manner? Do we want to stand before Him and bring Him food? If we do, then there are some rules. It says here in verse 17, "They shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. And they shall have linen turbans on their heads." So there are special garments if you want to serve God. Linen garments. And the reason the garments are linen is so that they would not sweat. The first time we see sweat come up in the Bible is when Adam and Eve sinned against God. And God said to Adam that you labor on the land, the sweat of your countenance. So we see it shows that sweat is a curse. And the sweat comes when we use our own strength. It comes from our flesh, from the work in our flesh. Then it produces sweat. And here the Lord says, if we want to serve him, we need special garments so that we would not sweat. And that shows that if we want to serve God, it cannot be in our flesh. We cannot serve him in our natural being and just stroll right on into the innermost part and bring the offerings. At least we have to put on these linen pure garments. And our linen garment is Christ. And today we are able to put on Christ. God does not want our flesh to appear. We all have different personalities or gifts or opinions, concepts. But none of that is qualified or qualifies us to serve God. God shows us that if we want to do something for him, we must learn to put on Christ. And it's so important for us today that in everything we do in our entire life, when it comes to our family, in the brother's house, at our job, we have to put on this linen garment. We should not be such people who live in our flesh, who react in our flesh. But we have received Christ so that we might put him on. Amen. So that he is the one that is appearing and being expressed. We must learn this. To put on Christ as our garment, as our righteousness. Paul really worked hard on this, really. He gave himself fully to the Lord. But he learned in all his labors to put on Christ. In 1 Corinthians 5, he said, I labored, but not I, but the grace of God in me and with me together. Amen. This is so precious for us today and so important. And then it will be acceptable to God. In Matthew 7, we see that many are doing things supposedly for God, but in the end, God will not recognize it. He will only recognize and accept what Christ has worked in us. That's why we really must pay attention to putting on Christ. And then verse 18 references linen turbans on their heads. And of course, that shows that it points to our thoughts. Where are our thoughts? Do we have our own concepts, our own opinions, our own ways of thinking? Where are our thoughts all day? Here we see there's a linen turban. And in 2 Corinthians, it says we should have every thought be made captive. It's so important to pay attention to our thoughts. Often we have so many thoughts, but it's good to learn to crucify our thinking. Amen. And to know that we are crucified with Christ and to set our mind on the things that are above. Are we people who are going after pursuing the things of the world all day? Or are we those who set our mind on the holy things? So for the priests, it's really important to have this linen turban. Colossians says, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. And we set our mind upon the things above and not the things on this earth. And sometimes it's hard when you're occupied with your family, with your work, and you've got some worries. It's almost impossible to really focus on the Lord. And so really it's an exercise for us to put on this linen turban. And then in verse 19, when they go out to the outer court, to the people, That's if they go back out to the outer court where the people are. They shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments. And in their holy garments, they shall not sanctify the people. That's Ezekiel 44:19. This is really an interesting verse. It says, they shall not sanctify the people in their holy garments. And that shows that God's holiness may not be touched. Could someone read Haggai 2:11-13? Haggai 2:11-13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priests answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priests answered and said, it shall be unclean. So can we say we are holy and touch the unholy things? No. Will it make those things holy? No. This is a really important principle that the priests must pay attention to. Things that are unholy or unclean will not be made clean or holy. We really have to see this. God's holiness must be preserved. That means that for us today, it is important what we deal with and the things that we handle. It is possible to damage or injure the holiness of God. That's why the Lord had such strict rules, because his holiness cannot be damaged, cannot be defiled. If we do this, if we defile his sanctuary, then God will move out. He will remove himself. And this is a really important principle for us to see. We have to pay attention to God's holiness and really pay attention that it would not be defiled, not made unclean. As priests, we have to really regard and pay attention to his holiness. In Corinthians, it says, what does the temple of God have to do with idols? Yeah, today we are holy, sanctified, separated for the Lord. Let us not have any contact with unclean or unholy things. This is a really important principle for us priests. And we see that this ministry of the priests is totally separated for God. Outside in the outer court of the temple, there are also priests who serve, but they're serving the people of God. They're serving all the people who come to the temple and to give them food. And they're busy with that. They're busy serving all the people. But the priests, the sons of Zadok, are there to minister to God. So which part are we? We often like to serve others. But here we see that the sons of Zadok in the first instance are there to serve God, to minister to him, to bring him the offerings, and to give him food. That should be our focus. In Zion, we are primarily there to serve God the Father, and to satisfy him. This is really precious. And then in verse 20, it says, they shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. So the priests really need a balanced walk. It's so good for us to be healthy and balanced in all that we do, that we would not be extreme in any one way. If I shave my head, that means that I'm so strict that nothing can grow. If I try to deal with the brothers in my natural way, then it doesn't further growth. But sometimes we're the opposite. We're so loose. We let our hair grow so long. Oh, everything is fine. That's also not good. So what's important is for us to correspond to the Lord, to know both his goodness and his sternness. Yeah, he's both merciful, but he's also strict. Let us know both aspects of our Lord. And then we continue reading in Ezekiel in verse 21. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. Of course, we all know if you drink wine, it fogs up your senses. And wine also affects your judgment. So as priests, you should not drink wine, because then in the end, you no longer know what you're doing. And I think we've already heard this quite often and had much fellowship about it in the past months. When Nadab and Abihu went in to serve the Lord and they had drunk wine, and they brought profane fire before God, God had to judge them. This is an example and a big warning to us to be sober when we serve the Lord as priests, not to drink wine and not to enjoy everything that the world offers. If we enjoy the wine of this world, and if we still have pleasure in so many earthly things, but simultaneously want to serve God, then eventually we will not be able to distinguish what the Lord desires, what he does not desire, what is pure, what is impure, what is holy, what is unholy. Our judgment, our ability to distinguish is impaired. And that's why as priests, we should not drink wine. Don't let your judgment be fogged, be clouded. And then in verse 25, they shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person. And priests have to have a special consciousness that death is really something terrible. It's awful. Death makes us totally useless for God. We want to be useful to the Lord. We want to be full of life, experience the Lord, be in his presence, be near him. And so the Lord warns us not to touch death. Man, the wages of sin is death. And that is why I have such a fear of death. I don't want to defile myself with death, but I want to remain and abide in the Lord's presence, be near him, hear his speaking, have a pure conscience before him. Let us really have a healthy fear. We should have a fear of doing things that grieve the Spirit and that bring us death. And let's also beware of touching the things of religion, which are also death. religion really is death. And let's also be careful that we would not allow ourselves to be defiled by so many things outside. God warned the priests that they shall not come near a dead person. Much more we should serve before the Lord. And then the Lord says that he himself is our inheritance in verse 28. The Levites do not have a separate inheritance because he is their inheritance. The Lord will be our total satisfaction. Our priestly service is not something that we are just doing or practicing in the festal gathering, but during the week we just do our own thing, live our own life, and following our own lusts and following our own callings. But the Lord has shown us he wants to be everything to us throughout the entire week and throughout our entire life. This is our privilege, to eat Christ every day, to enjoy him every day, to experience him. And that should be our total satisfaction. It should really be precious to us, for us to be able to bring God his food. If we can really offer Christ as our offering, that's our inheritance. There's nothing more precious on earth. Others want to have a great career, a great job, travel around the world, and have many other things that may not be sinful. Our treasure is Christ. That is our inheritance. It's our possession. Let's really appreciate this. Jacob really treasured and appreciated this inheritance. He had it before his eyes. That's why he wrestled for it. He saw what was really valuable. He didn't want to have all the land and the ox and all these material things, but he wanted the inheritance of God. And we should also have such a view. We want the inheritance that God has prepared for us. That's Christ, our good land. Amen. The Lord will be our possession. We want to possess him. And then the priests get to eat the offerings. They get to eat the best part. It is for the priests, for the sons of Zadok. And then in verse 31, there's another warning. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast, that died naturally or was torn by wild beasts. In Zion, we really have the best food. We have Christ as our feasts and as our offerings. In all situations, we can eat Christ. We've just had fellowship about our thoughts. How often are our thoughts just anywhere? But in that situation, it's our privilege. It's our right to eat Christ, enjoy him as the feast, experience him, and set our mind on him anew. He's really our food. Here it says that the priest shall not eat anything. Verse 30, they have the best of all first fruits of any kind and any sacrifice that is theirs. But there are things also they should not eat. Outside, there is only dead teaching. Everyone has his own opinion. It's like the bird or beast that was torn by wild beasts. Our food should be fresh and new experience in Christ. Every day, is that not sufficient for us? What more could we ask for? Do we want to go out into religion? Do we want to go to YouTube and eat carrion, eat meat that has died and is already torn up by wild beasts? And then after they've torn it up, we'd go and also eat some of it? And everybody's got their opinion about God's word, and we we just eat that too, and then we also add our own opinion to it. If that is how we behave, that's terrible. But God says we should not eat the meat that has been torn by wild beasts. We have such precious food. It's Christ as all of our offerings and our feasts. In the Gospel of Matthew, he warned us in Matthew 16:12. It says to beware of the leaven, not that he was speaking not of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. There are so many teachings, so many interpretations of the word, but none of this gives us life. It does not help us to live through Christ, but we have to eat this word every day and experience and know Christ. And then we can bring it as our offering. This gives us life, and that changes us. And that's why we should not eat any carrion. We should not eat anything that has died naturally or been torn by beasts. So if we follow this word, then we will really see, as we read, that it's a covenant of life. If we follow these ordinances of the priesthood, we will have life. If we pay attention and regard God's holiness and live according to his ordinances through Christ. Don't forget, Christ is our garment. Christ is our food. He is our reality. And today, as priests, we are learning to live Christ in all things, not to live any longer in our flesh or ourself, but we put Christ on, and this will be well-pleasing to God. And he needs such people who come forward to him wearing such garments. Praise the Lord.